Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Conn Report. Wherever you get your podcast, you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media. That's A-M-P-I-R-E. Always much appreciated when you tune in. Don't forget, you can read my work on ESPN.com. I'll have a story up in the next couple of days, within the next couple of days, about the Commanders and the draft and just kind of a final lead up into next week's festivities. Finally, we're a week away. Thank God. I think we all can say the same thing. Couple programming notes. One, Bram Weinstein, the voice of the Commanders, and I will do a live stream show at 7:30 Eastern time Thursday night. So you're probably listening to this Thursday morning. So tonight, Thursday night, 7:30 Eastern time, bring your questions, join us for the live stream show. And then for you gold members, I'm going to do a private Zoom with you on Monday at 7:30 Eastern time as well. And if you want to become a gold member, go to the Empire Media YouTube page. You see the word join, click on there. And you know, you'll find different levels of membership, but you gold members get the private Zoom Q&A session for sure. So that's one thing. And then also for ESPN, our NFL Nation mock draft, I believe it is next Tuesday. So stay tuned for that and see who I'm going to pick. Oh man, the intrigue. Actually, there is some intrigue there. So anyway, I will say, let's get to some of the stuff. I'm going to talk today about kind of going inside those top 30 visits and what they mean just based on the guys they're bringing in, maybe where they're slotted, where they're anticipated to go in the draft and what it means for maybe what the Commanders are looking for and how they're trying to build this roster. So before I get there, I want to talk just a couple minutes, 1 or 2 minutes about quarterbacks. And then one thing on the Bill Belichick story that ran on ESPN.com today. Anyway, as far as the quarterback situation goes, they finished with the top 30 visits and they're still not finalized on who they're going to draft a quarterback. And they don't need to be. Nobody knows for sure. And nobody has known. I've talked to people who are close to Adam Peters who will tell you he's not even telling them. And then Daniel Jeremiah had a conference call with the media earlier today. And he said the same thing. He's close to Adam Peters as well. And he said the same thing that someone else close to him told me, which is, he's not going to tell you, and nor should he. It doesn't make sense. And I think people respect that too. And I think they respect that when they're talking to him. And so there you go. And I know Adam Schefter said on my guy Jamal's Trap and Dive podcast about, you know, the jersey and all that. Adam doesn't know either. And he knows that. And, you know, now I will say he's been consistent in saying signals and signs. And I felt the same way, that a lot of signs and signals point to Jaden Daniels, but it doesn't mean it's going to be Jaden Daniels. When I talk to people in the league, and by the way, I'm going to go back to Jamal for 1 second here. And he's a really good guy who does good stuff. And, you know, he's a guy that I've known for a while. When he was first trying to get into this, I talked to him a few times and it's been nice to watch him rise and find his niche in this business. And, you know, he's done it a difficult way, but he's wedged his way in there. So good for Jamal. And they've gotten some run on that whole Adam Schefter thing. But again, Adam still doesn't know. So all the jersey stuff, he still doesn't know. And he knows that. And because I've talked to Adam too. So because, you know, everybody's trying to figure it out. But again, signals and signs, there you go. Because everybody, when I talk to people in the league, they're going to say, I think it's Jaden Daniels. So that's the one that makes sense. And this is, I talked to somebody today who's in the league, been in the league and knows this stuff very well and scouts this stuff. And he was telling me that he thought that there was the gap. He felt like the gap between Caleb and Jaden was more narrow than the gap between Jaden and then Drake and or JJ McCarthy. So just FYI. And that's, you know, I've heard that consistently. Doesn't mean that that's going to be the guy, because again, Drake May has his fans. JJ has his fans. And we'll find out soon enough. So we'll get into that more as we get a little bit closer about, you know, just some of the process and all that. So, but I want to talk about that for a minute. And then the other thing is, I told you about that Bill Belichick story that came out on ESPN.com on Wednesday. Don Van Natta, Seth Wickersham, and Jeremy Fowler all contributed to that. there was a portion on the Commanders and Bill Belichick. And at the time in December, when it was first, when there were the first rumors that were put out there, which were wildly wrong. And then in January, they were wrong again, because it just, he was never a guy that this team was going to interview for that job. And I know what the story said was that Magic Johnson initially lobbied for him. Josh Harris said no. And that really was it, because it wasn't like Magic was pushing hard for him, because my understanding at the time was that, you know, this group was on board together. And I was talking to people today that after that initial lobbying, that Magic was on board with the process and where they're going. But if you're Magic Johnson, you're here because you've won all these titles. Well, who's the guy that's won all the titles in the NFL? Well, it's Bill Belichick. So naturally, it's not surprising that he would have an interest in wanting to talk to him. But a lot of other people know a lot about him and how it operates, and it just wasn't going to be conducive to how Josh Harris wanted to set things up in Washington. I do know, because I heard this from people here as well, that Belichick was telling people he didn't have to have the GM title. I'm not sure anybody really believed him on that, or that he may not have the title, but what kind of power are you going to wield? And so, like, that's the thing. Josh Harris was very clear all along how he wanted the setup, and it wasn't going to include a guy who was in the coach-centric model for so long as he was in New England. Anyway, so just there you go. Now, let's get into the top 30 stuff, because that to me is like, we're getting close to the draft. So obviously all four quarterbacks were in town at the same time. A unique approach. Is it a good one or a bad one? I don't know. We'll find out. And, you know, I say that because, you know, when we have a chance to talk to them, and we're going to talk to Adam Peters and Dan Quinn on Thursday, it's a pre-draft newser or pre-draft press conference. And, you know, I'm sure that topic will come up. What are you looking for out of that? And we'll find out more about maybe what they saw during that Top Golf trip with all the group, and why that, when they were all here together, what they saw from them during this time that maybe stood out. And as someone else pointed out too, that it also, I can't remember which report, some other reporter, I don't know who it was. I apologize, I'm blanking out, that, you know, it also was a good chance for Josh Harris to come in and meet with all these guys at one time, because he was sitting in on those meetings too. I don't think it was just for the quarterbacks, but I think this allowed him to kind of, when's he going to be here and when are they going to be here? And it just made a lot more sense maybe to do it this way. I don't think it's something that was some issue at all, because if you're by this point in there, you're just looking to kind of, you know, put some punctuation on this whole process. So that's, you know, there, you're so far along that even if you haven't finalized on a guy, you certainly know who you're looking at pretty hard, because you have to, it's, you're only human. And I think it was interesting that Michael Penix was here as well. Makes sense, because what if Minnesota comes to you and says, we'll give you Justin Jefferson and 3 first round picks to move up to the number 2 spot. Well, what do you say? I mean, and then, so let's say there's some outlandish offer that causes you to trade back. Well, then you want to know, well, what would you be getting in that quarterback and that guy, whether it's JJ, if he was still there, I don't know that he would be, or Penix, who would probably be there at 11. So it just helps you, you know and have all the information possible. I'm not looking for them to trade back. I don't get the sense that others in the league think they'll trade back either. So I think they'll stick at 2 and draft, you know, and I know that some people want them to trade back because you want all the picks, and that's the more picks you have, the better, but you run the risk of not getting your guy. And there's no way you're going to like all 4 guys equal. Then you have to look and say, okay, how good can this guy be? How good can this guy be? And what's going to matter more, you know, getting a couple extra picks in the future or having this guy now plus whatever you have this year. So anyway, but the expectation is that they'll stay at 2, but you have to be prepared for any scenario. That's why I got like Penix is here. Anyway, let's take a look at some of the positions and go over some of the things. I thought it was interesting that among the offensive linemen, I have 4 tackles that I know for sure that were visits. And that you can look at Kieran Amagaji from Yale, Roger Rosengarten, and then Caden Wallace. All 3 of those guys would be projected mostly as right tackles. And so that would be my expectation for them. That's what they played in college. Amagaji was, he's the guy from Yale. he'd have a big jump in competition, of course. So, which is why I think it's interesting, because I've seen, I get this somebody inside the league who puts together their draft board based on their talks with other teams throughout this process. And he had Amagaji as a sixth round guy based on his talking to these teams. I've seen some analysts project him as maybe a third round guy. So it's kind of, but it shows you the talent that he may have in some eyes, but again, right tackle. Then Jordan Morgan was left tackle. But what it tells me is when you look at like Rosengarten projected top of the fourth, Caden Wallace, fourth round guy. So what it tells me is they want to get possibly two tackles out of this draft. And I think that would be very, very smart. You're going to get a guy in the, you know, Jordan Morgan was the guy that would be the left tackle. He's a guy that's projected late first, early second. Now there's some interesting guys that are also in there in that late first range. A guy like maybe Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma is another guy that might be there late. Would a Marius Mims be there late where they could trade up? I don't know. And I don't know if they're going to want to trade up or how high, how much you're willing to give up, because they have a lot of capital in this draft. And we're going to get into that a little bit more down the road when Bram and I will talk about that, I'm sure, on Thursday night. And I'll talk about it again a little bit next week. But I do find it interesting because they need the left tackle, but I like that they're looking at the right tackle too, because you got to see better play out of Andrew Wiley. And we all know that. And it'd be nice if they could. But I think what Wiley gives you and is, or maybe somebody you find after the draft, much like they did with Charles Leno a couple of years ago, is you get that guy who can play the position for a year while this other, or as this other guy develops, and whenever that guy is ready to go in, whether it's this year or next year, but you have a chance to then have two young bookend tackles. I like that strategy if that's how it unfolds for them. Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground, give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, zip lining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kind. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kind. They also brought a guard in, Isaiah Adams. You know, sounds like he's a late second, early third round guy. You know, you can't have enough, again, you can't have enough offensive linemen. I think what they have focused on depth. It's funny because I see things where people said they haven't done anything with the offensive line. Well, they have, they've signed a few guys. So, but I like that they'd be bringing in more competition in that interior. So I think you have a chance to start building some depth at an area that you haven't had and get some young depth that you can develop into some starters, because you got guys like Allegretti that maybe you bring in a guy this year that develops into a starter next year. So, and you're going to have to pay Cosme in a year. So, you know, maybe you get a guy in here that maybe if, you know, depending on what you think of him, do you bring in someone else who could play guard as well? Or do you just have another guy that's like, hey, this guy's a good guy. In a couple of years, he's going to be a starter. So whatever at left side. So, you know, you've got, he gives you options, but that's what he's one of the guys coming here. Tight end is the other interesting one because, you know, Zach Ertz, sign him in the offseason. It certainly sounds like they'd like to add another tight end. And I think you can deduce that from who they're looking at in this draft and then where these guys, some of these guys might go, or at least on the top 30 visit. Just because they don't visit doesn't mean they wouldn't take them by any means. But I think it shows the level of interest they have in some of these guys for sure. But I think the thing that's interesting is, and I had was it Matt Bowen on, was talking about this and the amount of times that Kingsbury's offense would be in 12 personnel, so two tight ends. Well, you need to have another guy who's a threat. Zach Ertz clearly is a threat. John Bates is a blocker. You can't count Cole Turner as a guy that can be that threat. And Armani Rogers is coming off an injury. These guys haven't seen him. And he caught just a handful of passes rookie year. I was looking forward to his development last year. Then he got hurt. So you cannot rely on him. So you got to go out and get another guy. So the guys they're looking at on these visits, Jatavion Sanders would be a mid-second round guy, probably Jared Wiley, late second, maybe a little bit higher, possibly dropping a third. I think there's a range there. I think anywhere from that 40 to 67 range is probably where he could, or maybe mid-40s to 67 range is where he could go. But he's a guy that I think would be very, very intriguing for them to get. And again, I know that they want to get a tight end. So that's the word on the street, folks. And so, and again, I think it makes sense because if you want to have the, you need, it also would be very good for a rookie quarterback to have another tight end here just to work that middle of the field a little better, provide some, a little bit easy, I should say easier, but some bigger targets and also just a diversity of areas you can throw the ball to. Right. So anyway, and then Eric All is the other one. He's a guy from Iowa, tore his ACL. So he's coming off an injury and maybe you find some value in him later in the draft. And I think he'd be like his health is the big issue, maybe a sixth or seventh round guy, but that's a guy that, you know, again, if I'm really trying to do something, I'm trying to find one of those other tight ends earlier in the draft. And that's why it's, when you talk about trading back up into the first round for a tackle, I think you have to, you know, it's really curious to see what they do with that, because how much capital would you have to give up to move up? Where would you have to get up to? And then, you know, what would it require? And then what does that not allow you to do? You might get the tackle, but what else do you want to get with this? And what else can you get? It's funny because when you talk to some people about like the gap between, you know, certain players and positions, it's not as vast as what sometimes we think it is. If a guy is like, oh, he's fifth on the board, but he's ninth. Well, there may not be a huge gap between five and nine. So that's what you have to weigh, especially at tackle. But you need to find a left tackle. And if Jordan Morgan's a guy, you're going to, you know, or somebody, whomever, you're going to have to get that guy. And there are other guys in this draft that would be interesting. But if that's a guy you like and you feel like he could come in and start, then you're going to have to do something possibly to get up there and get him. Then it's how much and what do you know. But here's the other thing, too. You could always trade back, you know, use some of those other capital in this top 100 picks to maybe acquire another pick to get one of these guys, too. So anyway, I'm starting to speak all over the place. So let's look at defensive ends. And this is another one where I think it's interesting. Why would they look at edge rushers? Because they sign guys. Well, because you always need them. And because you always want to have them. And also Dante Fowler is on a 1-year deal. And so like there's Dorrance Armstrong's a couple years and Cleveland Farrell is a 1-year deal. So you don't really have guys beyond that. And I think it'd be very smart to bring in some young guys who have some bigger upside than what they have there now. KJ Henry and Andre Jones, you're not looking at future top end guys. Most likely Jones has some talent, but he's still very raw. So you're looking at a guy like they brought in Chop Robinson, bottom of the first, early second round type of guy and very good athlete. In fact, I can't remember if I mentioned this earlier, but I caught up with John Jansen, former Redskin John Jansen wanted to catch up with him. I love talking to him. We talked some about Joe Gibbs. We talked a lot about offensive line play. And yeah, we talked about JJ McCarthy because Jansen is a Michigan analyst. So we want to talk about him just in case, but there's only a few minutes on JJ, a lot on everything else. But we also talked about Chop Robinson because he had a great game against Michigan this year and good athlete. And he's, you know, I think it's telling to me that they're looking at some of those guys. They also had in Marshawn Kneeland for a visit last week. He's a very intriguing guy, second round possibility. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, he came in for a top 30, more of a priority free agent or late round selection. Austin Booker, more of a third round type guy. Now, one of the questions on Booker was, does he weigh enough? He was only, I think, played at 240 in college. He's long, though, a good athlete, has some length. My understanding is he's put on 15 pounds since the season ended. So he's now at around 255. So he certainly is trending there. But all those guys, if you look at where I talked to him, all those guys are third round and higher types. So if they're looking for a defensive end, that's, you would expect them to probably get a guy in those areas. And I think it's interesting that they did sign three, but they still want to get one, which I think is smart. Get another guy in here who can add to that mix. And I think we've seen in the past, you can never have enough, but it also gives you a guy. The beauty of what they did this year is you don't have to just target a couple positions. You can go get a guy that you like a lot and develop. And if you're going to get guys that you like to develop, get guys who play premium positions. That's defensive end. That's tackle. That's quarterback. That's cornerback. So let's get to cornerbacks. Of the guys that came in for some of these top 30s, none of them were in that first round range that I know of. So if there's, but with the top 30s, Rod Gaddison is a corner, has some good length. I think he's like 6 foot, buck 95. He's a guy that they've talked to, I think it's three or four times. So, but he'd be more of a priority free agent or a low round pick. Elijah Jones, 6'2", 185, more of a fifth round type guy. And then you have Cam Hart, 6'3", 202, fourth round guy. This is the fourth time I think they've met with him. So that tells you, that again, shows you the range of where they're looking at guys that we know of, right? Of the visits. So, and again, sometimes with these visits, like you may meet with a guy at the pro day, you might meet with him at the combine and have enough information on them and just say like, okay, we're good. So you may not bring him in for a visit, but it might be a guy you're highly interested in because maybe you feel like we got this guy down. So just don't read. I'm reading a lot into it. So, but I don't want you to think this is the only thing that to go by, because it's not. And I think you're smart enough to know that, but I'm intrigued by who they did bring in and what it means. And these guys are, first of all, they're all bigger corners. So you're playing that press man. You want some guys with some length, some size. And it's why I wonder about like a guy like Emmanuel Forbes and how he fits in or how he's going to fit in with this defense. It's not as a matter of just like, oh, coach him up well. Can he play this style for Dan Quinn and Joe Witt? So that'll be the question. But if I'm them, I'm looking at more corners and getting as many as you can. And maybe if you're getting those middle rounds, you know, if you have a high-end guy you're looking at, but I still, you know, I always look to bring in more. So, because again, it's like pitching in baseball. You can never have enough corners. But that's where they're looking at. And then also at linebacker, they did bring in Trevon Wallace, who's, I would say, a late third. He has really good traits, considered explosive. So, you know, again, you have Wagner, who's on a one-year deal. Luvu signed for multiple, you know, 3 years. And then you have Jamin Davis, who you have to decide on. Do you pick up his fifth-year option? Honestly, I don't know why you would, because you haven't seen him. You haven't been around him enough to know. You know, you just got here. It's kind of like when Ron Rivera came. He wasn't going to give extensions to anybody. Now, you know, the Trent Williams situation aside, like, you can understand why, like, well, you want to get to know a guy, especially a guy in Trent's different, but that, even that was the health thing. But even with Jamin, like, you need to see more. So I don't know that they haven't said they're not picking up his fifth year option, but I don't know why you would. So if that's the case, maybe bring another guy in here that you like, that you scouted in college. And that could be the guy. Tyrese Knight is another one. The guy where he's projected is sixth or seventh round or so. So those are linebackers that we know of that came in to visit. And so that tells you a little bit about what they might look for there. So it looks like, you know, when you're looking at this list, I mean, obviously quarterback would be the first pick. Then you're looking at tackle, looking at edge rushers and tight ends, maybe a corner in those first couple of rounds. And then day three, maybe the higher day three, maybe another tackle. So again, this is just a guess based off the visits. But you know, I think it all makes sense when you're looking at how they want to build out this roster, because they have a good interior. I think they've improved the interior of their defense with tackles who they already had in Payne and Allen, but linebacker, and then bringing in Chin, I think helps solidify that safety. And I think between he and Quan Martin, and then who can also double a slot, but also good safety, I think. And then Derek Forrest. So I think, and Percy Butler, see how he develops. So I think you're better there, and you took care of center. You're going to take care of quarterback. But I think, you know, again, tight ends, you want to get more of it. Receiver is not one that we talked about, but I would look for another one. And I think they will as well. That's where I say, I think, you know, be curious to see who they like from their earlier visits. But anyway, I'm rambling on now, so let's cut it off now, and so I don't bore you to tears. Anyway, I'll be back on Thursday night with Ram Weinstein, the voice of the commander, 7:30 Eastern time. Join us for the live stream chat. And again, I'm going to have John Jansen on. Probably that's going to come out on Sunday, and I think you'll enjoy that one very much. So some fun Joe Gibbs stories. I'll talk to you next time.